We're starting church, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go upstairs.
Okay.
You should have said no. It started anyways. That we didn't stay here. Half the crowd's gone.
Well, that's okay. Well, today we're going to talk about Aaron. Now,
okay.
We all know Aaron was Moses' brother.
Right.
You know, he was Moses' mouthpiece. You know, he was considered Moses' prophet, but why don't you guys tell me a little bit about what you know about who Aaron was?
He was a Levite.
Okay.
A lot of what I know you share. Moses' mouthpiece spoke on the behalf of Moses.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
His sons were priests.
Was he older brother? I don't remember if he was the older brother.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was the older brother.
Now, we all know that the reason he was Moses' mouthpiece is because Moses was actually more unwilling than unable to act.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know why, but as a result, God summoned Aaron to help Moses. Mm-hmm. Now, was there a time in your life when you were more unwilling than unable to perform a task?
What was that question again?
Was there a time in your life when you were more unwilling than unable to perform a task?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Give an example.
Oh, like leadership.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think about, personally for me, I was hesitant to lead worship with Skyway, and like I could have, but I was more, it's not that I wasn't able to, I was just more unwilling at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Aaron was more willing than Moses, Aaron was more willing to be Moses' prophet, but today we're going to look at three qualities of Aaron's strengths.
Okay.
Because he had three really good strengths.
Okay.
Number one, he was obedient to his calling. Number two, he was a great intercessor. And number three, he was humble enough to accept correction. Now, the first strength we're going to look at of Aaron was that he was obedient to his calling. Now, we're going to be doing a little bit of flipping and reading from our Bibles. So if we could go to Leviticus 8. And Chris, if I could get you to read verses 31 through 36. Leviticus 8, 31 through 36.
Moses then said to Aaron and his sons, "Cook the meat at the entrance to the tent of meeting and eat it there with the bread from the basket of ordination offerings. As I was commanded, Aaron and his sons are to eat it. Then burn up the rest of the meat and the bread. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed, for your ordination will last 7 days. What has been done today was commanded by the Lord to make atonement for you. You must stay at the entrance to the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and do what the Lord requires. So you will not die, for that is what I have commanded." So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses.
Thank you, Chris. There's a lot of musts in there.
Yes.
There's also a lot of eating. Now, eating is a good picture of a healthy, continuing relationship with Jesus, believe it or not. Because eating is personal. No one can eat for you, and no one can have a relationship with Jesus on your behalf. Yeah. Eating is inward. It does no good to be around food or to rub food on the outside of your body. You must take it in. Mm-hmm. We must take Jesus unto ourselves inwardly, not merely in an external way. Eating is active. Some medicines are received passively. They are injected under the skin and go to work. Such medicines could even be received while one sleeps, but no one can eat while asleep. We must actively take Jesus unto ourselves. Eating arises out of a sense of need and produces a sense of satisfaction. We will have a healthy relationship with Jesus when we sense our need for Him and receive satisfaction that the relationship brings. You know, some scriptures talk about Aaron's faithfulness as a priest, his initial call to action, or his consecration as a high priest when they talk about the obedience of Aaron. But what do you think about when you think of the obedience of Aaron?
They did everything the Lord commanded through Moses and his sons. He did everything that the Lord commanded him through Moses.
I'm sorry, the question is what do you think of?
The question is what do you think of when you think of Aaron's obedience, you know, in the throughout his life as
okay. Well, I think he was a great example for us.
There was a moment when he was rebellious against what God is calling Moses to do, and God had to deal with him and his sister on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was easily swayed by other people.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought I heard somebody was going to say something.
Yeah.
Well, the second strength we're going to focus on is Aaron's strength on being a great intercessor. We're going to turn to number 16, and we're going to look at verses 46 through 50. Says, then Moses said to Aaron, take your censer, put some incense in it, along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started. So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But the 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance to the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped. You know, Aaron's intercession stops the plague of judgment upon the children of Israel. You know, Aaron's role as high priest placed him at the heart of Israel's spiritual life, serving as an intercessor between God and his people. One of the most striking examples is found in number 16, you know, with this plague. Throughout his priesthood, Aaron regularly performed sacrifices and rituals prescribed by God to maintain the relationship between God and Israel. His intercessory ministry underscores the importance of mediation and prayer and leadership, and his willingness to stand the gap for others. Bible verses highlighting Aaron's role as intercessor include Exodus 28:29, where his breastplate symbolizes bearing the names of the tribes before God, In Numbers 16, verses 46 and 48, when he stopped the plague, which we just read, and other verses show Aaron and Moses praying for others, such as Deuteronomy 9:20, where Moses interceded for Aaron's life. Now, what do you think of when you think of Aaron as the great intercessor?
I think it's a, when I think about this, I am thinking about prayer. And I am thinking about how, what a responsibility it is. Because it is, his, he, it, as an intercessor, it's like he is, he was told to do this, to do intercessor, like to intercede. I mean, imagine if he did not. Right, 14,700 people were killed. But imagine if he just refused to do that.
Intercession.
So he's saving lives. So what it makes me think about is how our prayers. We are really commanded to pray. And it is a command. And if we don't obey in praying, then it is. I'm just kind of imagining the lives that are impacted by us not doing that. So that's what that I'm thinking of. It's just the responsibility of it, just how important it is to be obedient in that way.
Yeah, I'm going to throw an example out there. Nora was talking to her sister yesterday out in Lubbock, okay? One of the things I've been personally praying for is for her to actually study the Bible. And I didn't even know Nora would bring it up. I didn't even hear Nora bring it up. And I hear this morning that she's willing to explore the possibility through Zoom. I mean, that's what happens when you intercede for somebody. You know, prayers are answered. I mean, right now we've got a lot of prayers we're interceding for right now. We're interceding for Charisse to get restored to health. We're interceding for Charisse to get her 100%. You know, and look at what happens when prayers are answered. I mean, it's one thing to read about it, but it's another thing to experience it.
Right.
And there's other examples that we can see of Aaron being a great intercessor in the Bible. And that's one of our calls, too, is to be a great intercessor. Just like it's our call, in all honesty, to be obedient to the call. And last but not least, to accept correction. You know, that's why I picked these strengths of Aaron, because those are three strengths that he has that we need. You know, which brings me up to the last strength, and on the fact that he was willing to take correction. And we're going to turn over to Numbers 12, and we're going to look at verse 11. Numbers 12, verse 11 says, "And he said to Moses, 'Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. You know, despite his prominent position, Aaron was not immune to error. You know, Exodus 32, he yields to the people's demand to make a golden calf, an act that provokes God's anger. When confronted by Moses, Aaron admits his mistake and does not attempt to defend his actions. You know, this reveals Aaron's humility and willingness to accept correction, even when it comes from a younger brother. Another instance occurs in Numbers 12, when Aaron and Miriam speak against Moses regarding his Cushite wife. God responds by defending Moses and punishing Miriam with leprosy. Aaron immediately acknowledges the wrongdoing, pleads with Moses to intercede for Miriam, and demonstrates a repentant heart. You know, these moments illustrate Aaron's openness to correction and his readiness to seek forgiveness. You know, when can you think of yourself being willing to take correction?
The moment I got married. When I played sports, and became a disciple.
I mean, we're disciples of Jesus. We're taking correction every day as we compare ourselves to him and see how far we fall short of his example. So I think it's an ongoing thing. But then there are other times in our lives when we might be struggling with something and going in the wrong direction, where we have to take that correction to go in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm talking about those times when you're really hardcore in sin and you finally realize, wow, I really do need to take some correction.
Yeah, that's like, I think we really need correction, but a lot of times we don't want to take the correction.
I think the correction is easier when you kind of know what it is that you need to be corrected about.
Yeah.
I think, well, for me personally, it's easier when I'm already kind of know, oh yeah, I know I need to work on that. But if it's something that's like I'm blind, totally blind to, and then somebody brings it to me, like, I want to fight it. I want to defend, because I don't see that in me. And that's when it's hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking at Aaron and, you know, he didn't see it. He didn't see that what they were doing. He and Miriam thought they were in the right.
Right.
They thought they were right. They were on their high horse, having something to say.
Yeah.
And of course they thought they were right, or they would not have said anything. But then God showed them they were wrong.
Yeah.
And then they decided to be humble.
Right.
They didn't have to decide to be humble. They could have just.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Lord, it's hard to be humble. Right?
They could have rolled up and said, oh, no, you know, but they decided to be humble, and I thought that was...
Yeah. You know, there was a...
Right decision.
I'm sorry.
No, I was about to say, that's the right decision that they made.
Yeah.
It was also made, I think, out of the sense of awe of God, and he gave Mary leprosy twice. And so, you know... Maybe she needed a little extra encouragement to repent. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I just think that sometimes God has to show us that he is God and not us.
Right.
So that we can have that humility that you're talking about.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about when there was a time when men didn't like asking for directions, but now we have this GPS, you know, and the wife would say, no, why don't you just pull over and ask somebody? And the men would say, no, I got it. We'd be driving around. But, we want to take correction.
Now, those three questions I asked about Aaron's strengths, I'm going to ask you about our strengths, as far as how we can build our strengths. How can we, number one, how can we be obedient to our calling? How can we be more obedient to our calling as disciples?
Why don't you give us one?
like when we're caught, like, perfect example, the women went out to the folk festival.
Okay.
It was a chance for them to not only fellowship, but a chance to share their faith.
Okay.
Or you come up and you're walking down the street and God just puts it on your heart to say, hey, how you doing to somebody?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it develops a conversation.
Right, right.
Or more importantly, in accepting your calling, you know, how many days do you wake up and you don't exactly feel like being a disciple? Because it's a daily decision.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking.
Well, I think of that saying, 80% of success is just showing up. Because a lot of times I underestimate the power of just being together. And I'm like, I don't feel like it, you know. And you end up turning your attitude around by just, you know, being around encouraging people.
Having a strong prayer life just helps me.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah.
That's gonna lead to my second question. You know, how do you think you can be a great intercessor? Like you said, by having a great prayer life.
Yeah, I think that's really good because we underestimate prayer. I know I do. That's a good one.
But what makes that prayer life so successful? I know for me, it's great to have the brothers that I pray with every morning, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And the brothers I pray with at night on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I've learned from you, Richard, a lot, being here in Jackson, is that you're very intentional. And you're very, and you know, it's a discipline that we have to develop. And I found that if I write things down or set alarms, reminders, it's very, very helpful for me to be more intentional.
And the last question I have for you is, how do you think that you can be more able to take correction? Because that's probably one of our thorns in our flesh.
Yeah. Well, that would mean I would need correction.
But don't you think God throws it in there once in a while?
Probably.
You just don't know it?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, brother, I know I just think about that passage Jesus said when the Pharisees were trying to stone that woman, you know, you who were without sin, cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. So in terms of the law, at least, they were doing their best to be as righteous as possible according to the law.
Right.
Though we know in lots of ways they fell short in terms of their character and love for God. All that's just to say, I would doubt that all of us don't fall into this bucket of needing correction on something to be more like Jesus. I think that two things just come to mind. One is just an openness to hear from other folks about, you know, when you need to be corrected, when people see things in you. Sometimes people see things, they may not reflect you, but the openness to hear that is a source of humility.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to work on something. I believe God gave us His Holy Spirit, and part of the role of the Holy Spirit is to help us see where we need help, and it intercedes for us. But I'm working on this type of prayer called Examine, where at the end of the day you're reflecting and asking God to show you where you fell short of what He has called you to do that day. And that, just taking that moment for reflection and asking God reveals a lot.
It does.
To me, because if you ask, He will show you.
That's right.
And then you pray, you know, that, okay, I have to change that tomorrow.
Right.
I have a new opportunity to do better the next day than I did today. So those are just two things that helped me in terms of trying to get the correction that I need.
Right, right, right. Reminds me of Wizard of Oz, you know, the Mindy, whatever that witch at the north said, all you have to do is ask, mm-hmm. you know?
I think if you go into post correction, not just on the paper, you really hear the correction and then evaluate it.
Yeah.
You have to have an attitude that you want to continue to grow.
Yeah.
When you no longer desire to grow, you will not take correction. Mm-hmm. It's just a good correction saying, you know, hey, you did great, I think you do better, or it's like, hey, you're just totally wrong. But getting correction is about growing. About willing to grow. And also the correction is about just surrender. Just having this constant attitude of surrender toward God, you know, so that when a brother or sister has a conversation with you, or, you know, somebody says something to you about your character or something that you're doing, you can receive it. You can hear it. You can receive it. And even if right then you're not sure about it and you're wrestling with it, it goes back to what we said earlier, you know, about prayer and taking time to evaluate it. Pray about it and get other advice on it, but I think you just really have to just have a heart and say, you know what, I want to grow. I want to grow. As long as you're willing to grow, you'll be willing to hear correction and take correction and be able to, you know, put it in action where it needs to be put in action in your life.
One thing I've been praying about is having a sober estimate. Mm-hmm. Myself, like a very mm-hmm. sober estimate, whether it's good or not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to have a sober estimate about the good in me and about the things that need to change. And I've just been praying for clarity in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron's life is a testament to the virtues of obedience, of intercession, and humility. You know, he responded to God's call, served as faithful intercessor for the people, and accepted Christ when he went astray. You know, these qualities offer valuable lessons for spiritual leadership and personal growth, reminding us of the importance of answering God's call, standing in the gap for others, and being humble enough to learn from our mistakes. Anybody have anything else to add?
Awesome lesson. That's a great lesson.